Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, this year has been described as election year globally, with a reported 2 billion people casting their ballot. Imagine, around the world. Our recent election here in Ireland, and maybe the US election in particular, have demonstrated differences and divisions in society. Now, Christmas is also around the corner, when families get together and disagreement and conflict can also flare up. But fear not, from the global to the local, help is at hand. Dr. Paul Dalton is Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD and is back with us for the next few weeks to help us find a way to overcome differences and conflict. By God, are you needed, Dr. Paul Dalton. You're very welcome back to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac. Lovely to be back.
Your first big point when it comes to conflict and overcoming differences, I suppose, is to reassure the listeners there's no way to avoid conflict.
You know, Cormac, and I think, and from the global to the local, probably the most important thing we can say is that conflict, at a personal level in our families and in our professional lives, is inevitable. So it's not something, it's not the result of something that we have failed in or we're necessarily doing wrong. It is to be expected. So it's not a sign of failure. It's not a sign of a dysfunctional family or a dysfunctional politics. In fact, Cormac, I'd go as far as saying that if there is an absence of conflict, an absence of disagreement, we're probably in trouble.
Why?
The absence, Cormac, of a difference of opinion, the absence of time, of times of conflict, mm-hmm, in our relationships, probably indicates to something that's actually beginning to die a little bit. That the life, the energy. I think, to put it this way, Cormac, it's a worrying sign. The absence of conflict or disagreement, yeah, is a worrying sign.
Okay, so maybe that points to apathy then.
Apathy, completely. Really? Where maybe we've begun to throw in the towel. Where we're beginning. It has been described, Cormac, as the slumber of almost living, when we're not quite alive. Because when we are alive, there are going to be differences.
Okay.
And it's not, Cormac, you know, I mean, it's important to say that even at a relational level. So if we think about the relationships in our lives and some of the most important relationships in our lives, it's really important to say to listeners that the presence of conflict it doesn't indicate something terminal, doesn't indicate relationships will go through phases, mm-hmm, and inherent in some of those phases will be conflict and disagreement.
Okay. So is there then, if conflict is natural, let's say, is there healthy conflict and unhealthy conflict? Can you categorise them in that way?
You can. The presence of conflict in itself, depending on the degree, depending on the severity of that and the ongoing nature of that. So if I'm finding myself in situations where there's only conflict, well, maybe that's equally worrying. Equally, if I'm finding myself in situations where there's no conflict, that's also a red flag. It has been said, Cormac, that conflict, it doesn't exist without our participation. So we're involved in it. We're making this together. And the idea that there could be a political system or a family system without conflict is quite simply delusional. I mean, it's as delusional as the idea of, you know, this idea, Cormac, of reaching a work-life balance. Mm-hmm. That's a delusion. Because we'll never get there. It's an ongoing act.
Okay.
So the idea of reaching some sort of situation in our political worlds and in our intimate relationships where there isn't conflict is also delusional.
Okay. Maybe actually then, if people are worried about conflict in their own lives, whatever, you know, in whatever sphere, maybe what you say is actually going to take some of the pressure off. You know, there is going to be conflict, so just accept it. The question then, and we're going to discuss this over 3 Mondays, you have 3 different strategies. Mm. Dual identity, asking better questions, and ditching perfectionism. Mm. So I suppose these are ways of managing conflict. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, because, Cormac, that's the important point here. Conflict is inevitable, but it doesn't have to hurt as much as it normally does. So there are ways to manage conflict so it's not as painful. And there's also really important and really smart ways to manage conflict so it doesn't become entrenched. It doesn't become how I live in the world or how our relationship is or how we are politically. So there are ways to manage conflict. Mm-hmm. And as you say, we're going to talk about three of those over the next 3 weeks, the final of which will take us up to almost to Christmas Eve, where we'll be talking particularly about family conflict.
People are going to be well equipped. Okay, so the first one I mentioned there, dual identity. Explain that one to me.
So what's really interesting, when you look at the research, when you look at the literature over the last 30 years and say, well, what do we know about managing and resolving conflict internationally and interpersonally? One of the key findings there, Cormac, is this idea of dual identity, that the political scientists will know much more about this than I do. But let's think about it very close to home. So if we look at what happened in Northern Ireland, one of the key mechanisms that brought about the Good Friday Agreement was the recognition or what happened when people were from the North were allowed to identify as British or Irish or both, to hold both Irish and British citizenships, mm-hmm. as they chose. So psychologically, there was an incredible, and we've seen that replicated in other parts of the world, where people are given freedom to choose their national identity. So in our personal lives, there's something also about adopting dual identity. So it's key in managing conflict and disagreement. So what I mean by this, Cormac, is allowing people to be more than one thing, allowing or making room for human fallibility and contradiction, that I can be a wonderful friend at times. I can be very, very attentive, mm-hmm. very sensitive, and at other times I can get it wrong. At times I can be a really good dad and I can manage stuff, and other times I can get it wrong. So when you look at the process of peace negotiation across the world and in couple therapy, this is one of the key things, being allowing people to have an identity that doesn't restrict them just to one thing. And one of the really important ways to do this, Cormac, is about language. So the language that we use is terribly, terribly important. It can escalate or de-escalate conflict. Mm-hmm. We all know this, I think, in our personal lives. Words have, you know, Cormac, there's been a lot of talk over the last number of months about turning up or turning down the temperature, mm-hmm. in political situations. So words have the capacity to turn up the temperature, or to turn down the temperature. So practically speaking, there's two really important points to make about this. Choose your words carefully. Our words will inflame or they'll calm a situation. So what does that mean? That means avoiding extreme words. Extreme words, Cormac, like always, never, completely. These extreme words elicit extreme psychological reactions. So they get our defense systems up and running almost immediately. So I want to say this, Cormac, because a lot of people I speak to are concerned about polarization. Mm-hmm. We hear that political commentators, political scientists saying, God, we're becoming so polarized. And I really mean this. If you're concerned about polarization at an international level, go to the local. Go to the small conversations that you're having with your neighbours and with your families. Eleanor Roosevelt, many, many years ago, with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, she said, human rights exist in the small places.
So if somebody goes down a rabbit hole looking at international politics, Biden versus Trump or whatever, you're saying reverse that and bring it local.
Or Cormac, maybe to pay particular attention to the smaller conversations that we're having with people, our day-to-day interactions. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by polarizing is that capacity to accept dual identity, that actually maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Because our language will polarise. And the final piece is to talk about our behaviour rather than the person. So your contributor earlier on was talking about flatmates putting out the bins.
Yeah.
So talk about putting out the bins as opposed to the person who doesn't do that and their character. We can talk a little bit more about that.
You're so lazy, Paul, you never put out the bins. instead of saying... I wonder, could you put out the bins, or you haven't done so last week?
It's much easier. Our behaviour is malleable. We can change our behaviour. It's difficult enough to change our personality.
Okay. Look, I always find you and your topics and your advice fascinating. But over the next 3 Mondays, we'll talk about various strategies to overcome conflict. Dual identity, we spoke about today. Asking better questions is next Monday, and we'll finish with ditching perfectionism. Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD. You're always a tonic. Thank you very much indeed for joining us in the programme.